Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it.
Black, white, right, left.
Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session, and we have a new whiskey to talk about. You ever think we're in session more than the actual Congress?
It feels like it.
It does sometimes.
It just feels like they're constantly on right. Some sort of break, or like every time you listen to anything on the radio, or it's just like, and Congress is about to go on break for their
winter break, right, their spring break, their mid-winter to spring break. Oh, fuck them all. anyway, we have a Rabbit Hole PX Bourbon. It's made in sherry cases. It has a really unique flavor profile. It's what, a 93 proof, I believe. So it's definitely got some kick to it. I like it. I don't love it, but I don't love it because I'm scoring it at 91, and the only reason I don't love it is not because it's not a really well-crafted whiskey. It's because it has a really weird finish, like a raisin flavor at the finish, and I don't like raisins. So that's a preference thing, not a quality thing. It's really a great whiskey.
Yeah, I fully agree. There's some, your standard bourbon flavors in there, the cherry, the vanilla, and it could be the sherry casks that are finished in the Pedro Ximenez casks that kind of add that different flavor at the end. I can't decide if I like that or not. It is a well-crafted whiskey. It's not overpowering at 93 proof, but there's just something a little bit different about it. But I do like this a lot better than their standard offering. Right.
Okay.
Because we reviewed the regular Rabbit Hole, just the Kentucky Straight Bourbon, a while ago, a few months ago,
right.
And neither one of us were really in love with it.
It was good.
Yeah, it was okay. I don't know if I would say that I really thought it was that great. Like I think I still have the same bottle.
Okay.
That we reviewed, and that just kind of shows you where it is on my list.
Right.
I've had people over, they've had some, occasionally I'll dip into that one, but it's just not one of my favorites. This, I feel, is a much better offering from them, but I'm not sure if my palate is a huge fan of kind of the mingling of the flavors.
Okay.
So I also give it a 91.
All right.
But I do like it.
Is a very good score.
We're
like being negative about it.
I don't think we're being negative. I think that something can be good in terms of quality and not necessarily something
your particular cup of tea, right? Yeah, I agree. I agree. Before we get into anything from this week, I want to talk about something we discussed last week, because last week we talked about the woman in Alabama who was an unarmed pregnant woman who got into an altercation that she is accused of provoking. She was shot in the stomach 5 times. The woman that shot her was not charged with anything. She was charged with manslaughter in the death of her unborn child. And those charges have subsequently been dropped. So we called out Alabama for charging her. They dropped it. So
yeah, and so I actually did call the Jefferson County prosecutor's office. And essentially, the woman who answered the phone said, okay, thanks, appreciate it. But we've been fielding these calls, all week. And I'm sure from everybody from the ACLU to the NCAA or NAACP to, I think, Benjamin Crump, I believe, was the attorney who was going to take the case for her. So, there was a lot. And the girl's story was really, I think because of this, there was a chance I think she was going to lose her job. Not to mention the fact she's just been shot.
Five times. Lost a child.
Right, lost a child. I believe has another child. It was a really sad story. There was no, the prosecutor said that there were no winners in this case. No matter what happened, no matter what the outcome is. And I guess the winner is the woman who shot her, right?
She walks away free.
Right. She walks away with having to talk to the police and say, this woman attacked me. And so, I shot her. You guys deal with that. I'm going to go off and do my own thing.
I'm going to go stand my ground somewhere else.
Right. And that's just the stand your ground laws, this is, one of many instances where you look at them and you say, man, I'm not comfortable with it. And it's because of the way that it's used, right? Whether it's, Trayvon Martin down in Florida, or in this particular instance where, you know, okay, an unarmed pregnant woman, okay, is what, yelling at you? You know, maybe he takes a swing at you. I mean, that's right. how many husbands out there with a kid knows what that feeling is like, right? With an angry pregnant woman, just, you know, for whatever, you know, she's hormonal, she's probably hot, right? It's Alabama in the South in the summer, and who knows what the it was over. Obviously probably something nominal, but I mean, the girl felt passionate enough to hop out of a car and start this argument. But that doesn't mean that you should be able to shoot her, you know, kill an unborn baby and walk away.
Right.
Right. But, I mean, apparently in Alabama, that's what it does mean. So then not only that, but then, you know, it ties into the abortion laws, right? And sure. How you have so many states that are trying to basically push Roe v. Wade back into the Supreme Court so that hopefully, you know, and it's a lot of your red states or southern states, they're trying to push the envelope so that the Supreme Court takes the case and basically they change, you know, what's considered to be decided law.
Right.
Right. And that's what's going on with these states and these heartbeat bills and, you know, even Alabama doing this. And it's really frustrating because it feels like you're taking a step backwards in terms of, you know, women's rights and things like that. And without even getting into the abortion discussion, you know, because, again, you and I can never have one.
Correct.
We can never have a baby, and we can never have an abortion. And so I think we both agree that we need to be really careful talking about the topic, because even as an ally, a supporter, I still think there's just such a lack of relatability that you and I have to really to provide, you know, meaningful input.
Right. I mean, well... I want to avoid that issue for a variety of reasons, one of which is I don't want to have this discussion every time I go to a bar and someone listens to our show and heard me talk about it, because this is not an issue to say it doesn't impact me is maybe not a completely fair statement, but like you said, I'm never going to have one. I'm really kind of disgusted with the current political environment, both on the far right and far left, right? So the far right is trying to make laws so that in Alabama, I believe a doctor that performs an abortion can be charged with murder.
Right.
That, to me, is insane. Fucking crazy. Now, there's also the laws in New York and Virginia, which I don't fully understand. I don't want to get into them, but what was getting pushed by Fox News was if a fetus was in the process of being aborted but survived the process, that they can kill the fetus. If that's really what the law says and there's not more to it, that's barbaric, is the only word I come up with.
Yeah, I mean... So I never dug in. I didn't dig into them. The whole idea just gave me a headache. And I heard a couple different explanations on the Virginia law, and they conflicted with each other.
Okay.
Now, at that point, I should have dug in, read the law, and see what it said for myself. I didn't. So I'm going to refrain from really talking about it. But, I mean, it's a tough landscape right now. And, you know, maybe at some point in time in the future, I will start to dig into it a little bit more just so we can have a better discussion of it. But I think as it applies to this situation with Marsha Jones down in Alabama, that's her situation is born of that thought process.
Right. The unborn are the most sacred thing ever, no matter what. So
right.
If an unborn child dies and you're her mother,
it's all your fault. No matter what the reason, other than just a unexplained miscarriage. Then it's your fault, your responsibility, you're responsible for that life, so it's on you.
How long do you think it is until a woman drinks during a pregnancy and gets charged with a crime for that? I mean, that can't be too far, that's not too far down the path, is it?
Yeah, I mean, again, it'll probably happen in one of these red states, if it does. I mean, you know, I think that's something that I've personally seen it.
Anyone who thinks I'm encouraging drinking during pregnancy really misunderstood what I said.
I mean, I've known women who've had a glass of wine. I've known women who didn't know they were pregnant and drank and then, you know...
Found out she had been pregnant for 2 months, right?
Right. I mean, I know a lot of my friends' wives, right? Like, we've all been out, they've been drinking, they didn't feel well, and then a week later, you know, they take a test and it's like, oh, shit, I'm pregnant.
Right.
You know, or you just have, you know, I've got another friend... God bless her, but she was pregnant, man, and she was jonesing, and she had to have a glass of Chardonnay, and it was like, oh, that's that's not comfortable at all. And the kid came out fine. Well, and it wasn't a regular thing. And it takes a fair amount of drinking to really do a lot of damage. But, I mean, I think, who knows? I think the science is, you know, science evolves. So we learn more and more. But to that point, I don't know, because that's something that's hard to enforce.
Right. How it is, but
right. I guess what it would take is either a woman doing it, being bold enough to do it in a bar, right, to be visibly, noticeably pregnant,
right,
and then drinking in a public setting, whether it's a bar or a party, someone then reports her, and then the police take it in their own hands, or you know, in her own home.
Right. I'm just saying how what I just described is only a couple of steps down the road from this Alabama charges that were again ultimately dropped.
Well, I think it's. It's probably, well, the more I think about, how it would happen, how it would come to be, I think just the logistics of it make it tough.
I agree.
You know, is it possible? Sure. I mean, I'm sure there's some Bible-thumping sheriff somewhere who's just got a hard-on hoping that he sees a pregnant woman drinking so he can arrest her.
And
you know,
himself on the news and say, I'm here to protect the unborn no matter what, and that's what I do here in Alabama.
I'm sure that person exists.
I'm sure they do, too.
You know, but, I mean, I think most pregnant women at this point, kind of keep themselves hidden with whatever their vices are.
Right. All right, so anyway, we needed to clear that up. I want to talk something about a little bit of an experience between you and me, because I was at a bar before a comedy show, and up on the screen is the headline... President Trump calls John Bolton Mike again. Now, I want to look at the thing, but I took a picture of it and sent it to you, and you literally write back, is this real? I'm like, the answer is, it's on CNN. So,
that doesn't mean anything.
Right, okay. But, so what got to me about this, though, is that to me is not CNN newsworthy. I mean, it's funny, right? Mike Bolton, But A, he could have been thinking he was talking to Mike Pompeo. I don't know. And you know I will not make excuses for Trump
but I mean, it just... Okay, listen. It happens. Right? I mean, people do that with their own fucking kids.
Right?
I mean, everyone's got the mother who had, you know, 3, 4, 5 kids or whatever and calls little Timmy Joey or Mikey or whatever, and she goes through the whole roster of all the kids till she gets to the one she wanted to yell at.
Right.
I mean, like, every family has... that story,
right?
Whether it's the grandmother or the mother or whatever. So, all right, he mixed up his name. All right, I mean, he's got multiple people around him. Mike's, John's. Maybe he really likes Michael fucking Bolton. I don't know. I mean,
Why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks. office space reference. But what bothered me about this was not that Trump screwed up. It's that CNN, it was on the screen long enough for me to laugh at it, think about it, decide to take a picture. I mean, it was on the screen for a couple minutes. They're treating it like it's a legit news story.
It's not, right.
This belongs on Jimmy Fallon. This belongs on late night comics telling jokes like, and President Trump again, thinks he's got Michael Bolton.
So here's my question.
Yep.
How do we even know this?
How do we even know?
Where does it, like, who is putting that out there?
I do not know.
Unless it's John Bolton.
Quit calling me Mike, you fucking moron.
Right?
I'm trying to get you to bomb Iran, and all you're doing is fucking up my name. It's not out of the question.
Like, if you put it, think of it in an office space setting, right? But it's just John Bolton and Trump, and I don't know who the Lewindian guy would be.
John Bolton would be Milton.
Right.
My stapler.
Right. But I mean, I think it's not newsworthy at all.
It's like I said, it's a Jimmy Kimmel joke.
Who the fuck cares, right? I mean, like, it comes out, all right, there's a rumor that Trump keeps calling John Bolton Michael Bolton. And fuck, I mean, Trump is such a troll. There's this part of me that says, is he doing it on purpose just to be a dick?
Can't rule that out either.
You know, I mean, I don't even think you could, right? Like, hey, Michael Bolton, why don't you get over here and tell me about what the fuck is going on in Iran?
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, I could see that happening.
That is also not out of the question.
Right? And John Bolton just like, you motherfucker, my name is fucking John. You know? I don't know. But it's not news. I don't care.
The only thing that's news is the fact that CNN is wasting time on it.
There's no voter that's going to go out there and say, oh, he can't even remember John Bolton's name. That son of a bitch. Like, I just... Come on now.
Yeah, I agree. There's another story, and this got a lot more traction, and I've got mixed feelings about this too, but Mike Pompeo apparently is using a security detail to be his errand runners. And some whistleblower came out with that and said that, you know, he called it Uber Eats with guns. And, you know, the whole thing comes up. You have the wasting taxpayer money. Excuse me. You know, abusing authority, whatever. I also don't consider this to be a big deal at all. Although I will say that if I'm like a highly trained government service agent whose job is to protect high-level diplomats or high-level officials, I get told, yeah, go give me a Whopper.
All right, but here's I'm gonna be pissed about that. Well, I can see where you, yes, I would be too, right? I would be pissed even, I'm not a highly trained operative, and if someone just says, hey, like if my boss were like, hey, can you go get me a Whopper? I'd be like, what?
Right.
Fuck all the way off. But I think the issue is with who Mike Pompeo is. Right. Okay. I mean, he was the head of the CIA. He's a West Point graduate. He's a military veteran. So I could easily see this guy saying, "I don't fucking need a security detail. I get it. I'm the you know Secretary of State, and I know you're doing your job. I really don't need you fuckers standing over me. I am trying to start a war right now. Can you please just go get me food?" Right. I mean, that's I guarantee that's along the lines of what he's thinking. You know, I could take care of myself. I got my own gun. Whatever. Just. One of you can go get me food. The other one, you go do, I don't know, go find something to do. I don't know. Like, that's
okay.
That's how I picture this going down, right? I mean, I think that Mike Pompeo may see him having the security detail that he has as a waste. So he's like, all right, you guys are going to fucking stand here, then one of you at least be fucking used to
go, go get him. Right. Go make me a sandwich.
Right. I mean,
go get me a turkey pot pie.
I can see where the Secret Service is like, this, okay, this is my job.
If I was in that job.
But at the same time, like, bitch, you're not taking a bullet.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, I get it, that's what you're paid to do, but, you know, like, Terry Crews, like.
Right.
In the newsroom.
I wouldn't take a bullet for that money. Neither would I, pal. Learn to duck. We could never have too many newsroom references.
No, period. It's a great show. Too bad. Aaron Sorkin did what Aaron Sorkin does.
You know what though? It ended strong. It didn't. They didn't drag it out for that one two season too many.
True. They didn't Game of Thrones
it. They didn't Game of Thrones it. They didn't. True Blood.
Man, I can't. Yeah, you called that one. You called it.
Yes, I did.
You called it, and I have to give you credit. I mean, I tried, and I think I was winning that battle. Like, through the battle at Winterfell.
Okay.
Right, I think I was ahead in the game. I think everybody thought it was going to be a strong close. You know, you went all, if the wolf survives, like, fuck you and the wolf. The wolf is too important to the story to kill off. Like, the wolf doesn't die in the books. They're not going to kill it off on the show.
But the whole point is it's past the books.
Right.
And that's where it went bad, in my opinion.
Fair. I mean, I think everyone agreed. I think even HBO would have liked for George R. R. Martin to finish the fucking book so that they can go on with the show.
I guarantee you are correct.
You know, but
George
I mean,
R. Martin was like, I'm doing this on my schedule, bitches.
Right, and the HBO is just like, all right, we gave him two fucking years. What do we do?
Right.
Just like, well, let's... Apparently they said, well, let's just have this guy and that girl do it.
Right.
Like, I don't know who wrote that, but my God.
Let's have the...
It's like they had people write it who hadn't seen the show. That's what I felt.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Because there were so much...
I would completely agree with
that. There were so many loose ends... That it made no... Like, what the fuck was the point of everything up? I mean, it just... Okay,
right, yeah, We've done this already. Back on track. Focus. Especially when we have Antifa running around, Steve. We can't be talking about Game of Thrones with Antifa running around. All right. So a right-winger got beat up by Antifa, and I finger-quoted there because I've said before, I don't believe Antifa is a real thing. That doesn't mean I don't think there's a bunch of clowns in masks with bike locks beating up people. I just don't think they're this sinister organization with a guy stroking a cat in some lair on a mountain somewhere. I think it's a bunch of easily riled up kids who... You know,
There's...
And that's my opinion. I cannot prove that.
But there is enough proof to know that there are certain organizations that have received money from the George Soros Foundation that then go put money into groups that... call themselves Antifa, right, in various places, right? And then these nonprofits have gone as far as bailed people out that have been arrested for Antifa and provided them legal counsel. Now, I think there's a difference there between that and George Soros being the guy in the seat with the cat pulling all the strings. I think George Soros dumps a bunch of money into a foundation and says, let's help people. And then the foundations are run by people who, as you go further and further down the line, go further and further left, right? And I just pointed right.
Right.
But they go further and further and further left.
It's radio, not TV. I wouldn't have called you out on that.
And, you know, in some, like, listen, you can't control everyone in your organization to think the way you want them to think. And so I think you do have some rogue people out there who put these groups together of, and it's all, I mean, for the most part, and I'm not going to say, I don't want to, for the most part, Antifa are, you know, these suburban white kids that feel, you know, that they need to, you know, they've got the white savior complex. And I think it goes beyond social justice because nothing Antifa does helps people of color. Nothing Antifa does helps the criminal justice system. Nothing Antifa does helps women's rights. Nothing Antifa does helps the kids at the border that are, you know, in these detention centers. Right. Nothing Antifa does helps income inequality. Nothing they do helps healthcare. Nothing they do helps anything. They go out looking to fight, looking to cause chaos. It's like Joker in, you know, in the Dark Knight series with Heath Ledger playing Joker. That's who and what they are. And I would even go as far as they look at that and say, ooh, that's what I want to do, right? So how can I do it, right? So they go up, they go out, they put on these masks and helmets, and then they put on all this, like, stupid, dopey baseball gear, right? And then they get a bat or whatever, and then they go out and they just, they create chaos, right? And I don't think that are they this monolithic threat to our democracy that are going to tear our country apart? No. But in any place where they are, if you've got 15, 20, 30 of them, right? And they, and this is the,
sure.
And but Jim, you can't, like, I get it. Like, no, but there's what you're saying is, well, they're not a threat and they're not this. Okay, fine. But you're not the guy standing by himself who's getting punched in the face by some asshole with a bat.
I've never said they're not assholes.
Right? I mean, and so, but they are problematic because they are saying, we're Antifa, we're doing this in the name of. And so if you're gonna brush them away, right, then would you brush away a Nazi white supremacist group?
No, and I wouldn't brush away the Ku Klux Klan because I think those are organizations with an agenda, with people who would say, I am part of this, and would take their masks off and do it.
Antifa is the same fucking thing. It's the same thing. They just, they have a different belief system, but Antifa is the same. There are people all, like, it's a bigger network than you're giving it credit for, and you're downplaying it, and I'm not sure why you're downplaying it.
I'm downplaying it because I feel like this is a creation of right-wing media. I feel like it is, they need a bad guy, they need this evil group.
Sure, I don't disagree with you, but Antifa is providing it. It's not a bunch of white wingers dressing up and then saying, all right, you guys go without your shirts, and then we'll put on masks, and then we'll pretend to fight each other.
No, I don't think that either. What I'm saying is, I think the ultimate driving force behind getting a bunch of dopey suburban, urban white kids to put on masks and do this is to create an enemy for right-wing media to hate. And to cause fear in their constituency. That's, again,
what?
I
don't even know what you just said.
What I said is, I believe that if you dig down deep enough, you will find that there's a right-wing source to creating Antifa. I think it's just, again, it's not some brilliant mastermind.
I completely disagree. I think Antifa was bred from the Occupy movement. Right, Occupy Wall Street, occupy this, occupy that, right? And they all wanted to make change, and they were all just, we're just going to sit, and we're going to get in your way, and we're going to occupy, we're going to blah, 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 blah. And then it died, and they really weren't that effective. They were really annoying, and that pissed them off. Those people got really pissed off that no one really gave a shit. Like, they got a little bit of news coverage, and then it went away. And then those people took it a step further. Right? Like, well, if they're not going to listen to us when we're sitting in front of the Capitol building, then they'll listen to us now when we got these bats and Ben Shapiro goes to UCLA Berkeley or Coulter goes somewhere. We're going to show that bitch, right? We're going to show up and we're going to fuck up, you know, her speech and all that other shit. That's what this is. That's a natural progression, right? I don't think it's some fucking right-wing conspiracy. Right. Now, is there a possibility that mixed in with Antifa, there are right-wingers who want to make sure that things pop off, right? They're like, oh, well, if they're coming, I mean, let's just go ahead and make this interesting. I won't deny that. Well, I think the organization came from somewhere legitimate, if you want to say that.
If someone wanted to join Antifa, could they just do it? Could they say, I'm going
to
look
If someone wanted to join a white supremacist group,
oh, very easy. Yeah, absolutely. Go to a gun show.
Okay, but I mean, it's...
Or where do you go to join Antifa? A coffee shop?
Where do you go to join a white supremacist group?
I would go to a gun show, and I would wear a shirt that said, you know, Barack Obama is Hitler or whatever.
Okay.
And I guarantee you I'd make friends in a hurry.
Okay, but you can go wherever fucking liberals hang out. Go to a coffee shop, throw on a shirt that says, you know, Trump is Hitler, and I guarantee you someone will, hey, what do you, I see your shirt there. I think we have some things in common.
You know what? I mean, this is almost an experiment I want to do. We'll find the most...
I'm not bailing you out. Because I feel like it would go wrong for you. Somehow you'd end up arrested. And then I would laugh. I would laugh at you on the other side.
Well,
I tried to slide you some Vaseline. Here.
Let's
hopefully you're the one using it, not the one needing it.
This went down a very different path than I expected.
Establish your dominance, Jim.
Find someone, kick his ass, or become someone's bitch.
Right.
Yet another Office Space reference. Minimum security is no joke. So one other thing that came out this week, and not to jump back into Trump talk, but he is fighting with the Supreme Court about whether or not to include citizenship questions on... during the census.
Well, the Supreme Court came out and made a decision and said no. Right? They're just like, it doesn't, this is a waste of time. It's just misdirection. You're not doing it. So now he's pissed. Now he's talking about using executive action to put the question on. I kind of think this is a big deal about nothing. Here's the reason why. One of two reasons. One, I highly doubt that illegal aliens are really answering the census in the first place.
Right? Probably true.
So I don't think this question is going to change their mind one way or the other. I think illegal aliens are relatively paranoid, except for maybe the ones that were born here who've grown up in America, and they've shown to be, you know, very resourceful, and then they, you know, they kind of blend in. So they may, right? But I think there's a couple scenarios here where this question doesn't matter. Because one... I think a majority of your illegal aliens are not going to be
counted by the census.
Right. They're not going to be counted. They're not going to be cooperating, whatever. Then there's the other part of people can just fucking lie.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you don't, like, you're asking the question, but you're not asking to prove it, right? Like,
right.
You don't have to put you know, whatever. So, one, people can lie. So either they're not going to, they're
never going to be approached, or they're going to lie.
Not going to matter either way.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think this question does anything. It just, again, it just look at the shiny object.
Right.
It's a dog whistle. Like, hey, look, I mean, we're trying to get rid of the brown people, all the people who support us. You know, I mean, that's all this is.
Right? It's a great way to fire up both sides. Right. Both when you, Fox News.
Because even if, okay. Even okay, so the only thing the government could possibly glean from this is if illegals did, you know, complete the census and then they did answer the question honestly, then yes, you get a better count of the people that are here. But what are you then going to do with that information? Are you going to say, all right, well, because you have so many illegals, you get less money? Okay, fine, all right. But again, that's why people. That's why people are not going to answer that question honestly, right? Why would you?
You know, I mean this is back to the abortion thing. This doesn't affect us. We are American citizens, so,
right? I mean, doesn't.
But the whole thing, and I agree with you. It's jangling the keys. It's telling the right wing that Trump's got your back. That these, you know, Spanish speaking brown people are in his, you know, on the radar for him. Right. He's not going to give up.
He's got him
until,
in the bullseye.
Right.
And
it works.
Right. I mean, it works. I mean, right. I mean, you know, people just going crazy over the, like, it's got to be, you have to know who's in the country, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. But there's no one with a gun that's standing there making you, one, answer the questions or cooperate, right?
Right.
And there's no one doing any sort of backstopping and checking on what your answers are. Right? So, all that being said, like, what the fuck difference does it make? Right? I mean, we do it because we have to, because the Constitution says so. Right. But the reality is, this thing has probably been inaccurate for the last 100 fucking years. Right? I mean, yeah, you have maybe. So many. I mean, the country is so big and so expansive. You know, I mean.
And the way people live is so different now. The way when this was put into place, it was literally every house had a family in it, family unit.
I mean, now it's so big, there's no way that it's fucking accurate. Right?
Try
I mean,
going to Trump Tower, knocking on every door, and asking how many people live and whatever, and getting accurate results.
I don't even. I think.
I'm just putting you. I use that as an example.
When was our last census?
Probably 2010. I think it's every 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, it's every
so
10 years.
2020 will be the next one.
Where was it? 2010. I'm trying to think where I was. I was living in Lakewood at the time, and I don't now. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but I do not remember having an interaction with the census. You know, and I live by myself.
Now that you think about now that you say that, I'm not sure I have ever spoken to a census taker. Me, you know what? That's not, like I think when I was a kid, they came to our door. Like when I was in the suburbs of Buffalo, but they would talk to my mom,
right?
And I do think that happened. So in 1980, it may have happened. Other than that, I don't believe I've ever spoken to a census taker.
I don't think I have either.
Truthfully, don't you think you could get as accurate or more accurate information with some kind of a computer model of, you know, number of whatever, you know, Big Macs bought per? Not being legit there, and please don't think I'm saying that Big Macs represent the population, but there's got to be a way to figure out based on traffic patterns, other forms of transportation, you know, whatever, to come up with a really, really good estimation of how many people there are in a given city, state, whatever.
Just with all, I mean, everybody's got an ID for the most part, right? I mean, can't you start there?
Start counting driver's licenses? Yeah.
I mean, well, essentially, I mean, yeah, getting, I mean, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, right, I mean, I feel like there's... I think there's ways we could do this a little bit better where we'd have a better idea of what the actual number is, right? Sending people door to door, that like if that was
the art in 1780,
right?
Whatever.
Like, I mean, like, so we haven't figured out a better way of doing this in 200 fucking years. Come on.
Electoral College. All right. Sorry. I have this cough. All right. You brought something to my attention.
Yeah. And I could see where this wouldn't be on your radar.
For a variety of reasons.
But, so Disney lately has this really original idea of taking all their cartoon classics and then doing them in live
musical?
Live action. Well, I caught myself because I was going to say live animation, and I'm like, no, that's wrong. Live action. Right? Like, so they had the cartoon Jungle Book, and then they did the real Jungle Book, right? With, you know, instead of cartoons, they used actual actors and CGI. And Jungle Book is my favorite Disney cartoon of all time. I've always loved it. And then the, you know, John Favreau, he did the Jungle Book one, and it was phenomenal. Idris Elba, Shere Khan, what's his name?
Ben Kingsley. Okay.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley was the Panther. Okay. I can't draw a blank on his name, but I mean, just a lot of really solid actors who did a lot of great voice work. The CGI was amazing. I mean, the animals looked like, I mean, Shere Khan the tiger just looked like a real tiger. The wolves looked real. Christopher Walken was King Louie.
That is a pretty impressive lineup.
Yeah, it was a really impressive...
I don't know if Christopher Walken...
I tell you what, he did an amazing job, and you could tell that it was him.
That was a pretty shitty impression.
Scarlett Johansson was Ka, the giant snake. And they, you know, they changed the story a little bit, but it was still really good. My daughter loves it. She loved it. I thought it was going to be too scary for her. That's why I didn't take it.
Actually, I was going to say that's a bit.
I thought it was going to be too scary for her. And when it came to Netflix, the one day she was sitting there and she said, "Daddy, what's that?" I said, "Oh, it's Jungle Book. It's got a lot of big animals in it." She said, Bill Murray was Baloo the bear.
Really?
Really, like he did a phenomenal job. I mean, it's Bill Murray, so of course. But she loved it. And she, like, I have probably seen that movie 100 times. Not as many times as I've seen Frozen.
But you're probably thinking, thank God I'm watching Frozen again.
Well, I mean, I'm just at a point now where I just know the movie inside out. So it's just, I mean, it's background noise. I know all the songs. I know the words. It's kind of ridiculous. But that's what happens when you have a kid. Now, fast forward. I guess, or rewind, because when I was younger, I have two younger sisters that are 10 and 8 years younger than me, and one of their favorite movies was The Little Mermaid.
Which I fucking hated.
Okay, well.
I had to watch it 3 times in 2 days in college, girl I was dating, trying to get laid, whatever. Did not get laid, and had to watch the movie 3 times
in 2 days. Let's just stick with my story about my sisters.
Sorry.
So, they love the movie. It's another one that I watched over and over again a million times. And Disney has now decided that they're going to do a live-action Little Mermaid.
Okay.
So they did the casting for it, and they casted Ariel this week, and it's Halle Bailey. Halle Bailey, she has, I think, I know she has a sister. I don't know if it's her twin sister or not, but they're two girls with amazing singing voice. They actually sang at the Super Bowl.
As the story came out and I looked into it, I learned that they did sing at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think they did God Bless America at the beginning of the Super Bowl. Okay. And she's got an amazing voice. I mean, just an amazing voice that is on par with what you would want for an Ariel. Halle Bailey is black, African-American, not white, does not have red hair.
Okay. Now, is her likeness is on the mermaid?
No, she was just cast. So, we haven't seen her as the mermaid.
Okay.
But this has caused a huge backlash amongst white women all over Twitter and white people in general.
Okay.
Right? I mean, they are losing their shit that how dare you change the race of the mermaid and you're ruining the story and you wouldn't do this to, you know, Tiana, the Princess and the Frog, and, you know, because Tiana was black.
Okay.
You wouldn't do this to Merida. And Brave, you wouldn't do this to blah, blah, blah. Okay, here's the thing. You're right. They would never change Merida in Brave to a black girl. You know why? Because the story is based, it's about an Irish girl.
Right.
Her ethnicity, her culture, it's a cultural cartoon, right?
Right.
Tiana and Princess and the Frog, right?
Black people, which I know nothing about.
Black people are still pissed about it because Tiana the Princess spends 90% of the movie as a fucking frog, right? So, but yet and still, you're not going to change Tiana from a black girl to a Mexican girl or a white girl, right? Because it's about the culture of New Orleans and black culture specifically. Same thing with Mulan. Same thing with Moana. Right? Like all of those, like they're all directly related to culture, right? Even in Frozen, right? The girls, I mean, it's, you know, you're thinking it's somewhere in Norway or in, you know, Little Mermaid is about a fucking mermaid, right? Correct. Half person, half fish.
Yep.
Race doesn't matter, right? Her race can change, but the fact that she's half mermaid doesn't change, right?
It doesn't. All mermaid.
Right. Like, I mean, it's just like, and mermaids aren't real.
Then there's that.
None of this is real. But it just...
So what was the nature of the... So I didn't follow this on Twitter. When you told me that people were losing their shit, I didn't know who that meant. Because that's been the... You know, when it's often you'll hear, people are, you know, losing their minds about this, that, and the other thing. And I want to know, who are these people?
You got a lot of tweets saying, I'm not racist, but...
which usually means, I'm about to say something racist.
Right. I'm not racist, but... You know, like, you know, and a lot of people saying, like, well, and the one thing that stood out to me, and I had to think about this, was, you know, there are a lot of redhead girls saying, well, you know, I saw The Little Mermaid, and she had red hair, and that gave me confidence, and it really, you know, changed my life, and it allowed me to go out and be who I am, and so by changing The Little Mermaid from a white girl with red hair to a black girl, and whatever you're going to do with her... You've ruined it for me, and, you know, now little redhead girls of the future are not going to get the same thing that I got, and, you know, that sucks for them, and I hate this, and I'm throwing away my DVD copy of The Little Mermaid. So it's just like, okay, so if it did all that for you, one, why are you throwing yours away? Keep it.
Right.
Right. Also...
Burn your Nike shoes with them still on your feet. Just
exactly.
We'll come to that later.
But the other thing is, like, so if you're going to say that, like, just think about that for a second. If that's what it did for you, then think about what seeing a live-action Little Mermaid as a black girl will do for little black girls, right? I mean, that could be a huge thing. And me having a daughter, I would like to think that if confidence was an issue, which it's not for my kid, as you know.
No, it's not. But
I mean, but it's still important to see, you know, to see things, to see people who look like her in a positive light. So, right. You know, it would be, you know, like really, really interesting.
So I just, that is the 2018 Little Mermaid.
Okay.
But is that 2019? Okay. Not, I was, because that's a white girl with dark hair, oddly.
Right. What the hell are you looking
at? I was trying to see, so are people upset that this girl is doing the voice of a character or the image that she's being presented with? Because we don't know if the mermaid is black. Do we? Do we know what the mermaid looks like? And do we care? I'm just saying.
I feel like you may not have a full grasp of what we're saying. Okay, so it's a live action movie, right?
Well, right, but it's a film, right? It's not movie being acted out. So it's not like this is on Broadway. It's a live action movie that's going to be in theaters.
Yes.
So there's going to be, and the image of the mermaid, since there are no actual mermaids that are actresses, is Halle Bailey going to be like the body of the mermaid, or is she just doing the singing and voicing because she has a great voice?
I think.
And I don't care, to be honest with you. But
it's just an odd question, because I think they're going to use the upper half of her body. They're going to throw some seashells over her tits. And then they're going to CGI a fish body down below. But from the waist up, it's going to be Halle Bailey.
Okay. I didn't know that we'd established that. And I was wondering what people...
I don't know how you don't start there.
Well, because it's CGI.
Like, you watcher of all movies. Like, how the fuck do you not start there? The fuck did you think they were going to do?
Well, no. I think that's a possibility. Or because it's a voiceover thing. It's live action.
Okay, hold on. Let me back up. All right. Let me apologize. I'm attacking you. I've seen... So they've done this with Beauty and the Beast. They've done this with Cinderella. They've done this with The Jungle Book. They're doing it with The Lion King. Lion King's coming out this summer. It looks amazing. I probably won't go see it again because I don't know how many more times I can see...
your circle of life.
Mufasa die. It's just like, it's just one of the most like devastating things I've ever seen. Like, it's ruined my like childhood.
Okay. Wow.
It was like that and Mike Tyson losing. Those are things that I still probably haven't gotten over. I'm attacking you because I've seen what Disney's plan is, right? I haven't seen how this is going to work. They've even done with Aladdin, right? Like, so Aladdin's about to come out. Will Smith is going to be the genie. So I guess
I'm trying to figure out. Years ago, there was a show called Kung Fu, right? And Bruce Lee was supposed to star in it. It's about a Chinese guy. It was played by David or Keith Carradine, one of the Carradines.
David Carradine.
So the white guy playing a Chinese guy, yes. Because it was more palatable to the audience at the time. That is doing exactly what you said was not done in these other cases and shouldn't be done because ethnicity mattered. And in that case, they chose to, you know, put the round peg in the square hole with a white guy playing a Chinese immigrant who goes around kicking people's asses.
I really thought you were about to say they put the round eye guy.
No, jeez.
I was like, oh boy.
We don't have a dumb button on the show, so no. But seriously, that's what that was. I want to know, is this that only with different races and genders, or is this James Earl Jones doing the voice of Darth Vader?
Yeah, this is essentially James Earl Jones doing the voice of Death.
Okay, so then...
Right, or I guess what it would be was... What it would be, I guess, would be swapping out James Earl Jones for Jeremy Irons, right? And then, like, me being pissed, right? Like, oh, they took out James Earl Jones, and right. They replaced him with Jeremy Irons. Like,
why not Idris Elba, right?
Right, like, okay. You know, like, what the... Okay. But I just... I think the bigger part... One, what I've realized is I need to force you to watch more children's movies just so that we can...
You will have to force me?
Yeah.
Like, at gunpoint?
Yeah. I will. I will. don't put it past me.
This is not a legally binding thing, right? Well, we gave her permission to use a gun, so...
Right. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, I think just so you can keep up with these conversations, but you're right. It's not a huge deal, but people are making it a big deal.
Right.
And because... What they're trying to say is that it's too PC, right? You're pandering to black people, right? You don't have to do that. Like, they've got their own movie. They had Black Panther. Like, what are we doing here?
We're cool now, right?
Right. Like, exactly. But it just, And again, like the girl who made the point about the, you know, seeing a redhead girl, and giving her confidence and everything like that. But my rebuttal to her is, one, like I said, you know, if it did that much for you, then why can't you let it do that for little black girls? And two, but you have this, right? Like, you have this, and the original is not going anywhere, right?
Right.
I mean, you still have the DVD. Well, not anymore, because apparently you threw it away because you're a fucking idiot. But the DVDs, the original cartoon is still there. It's still available. You can still watch it. It can still have that same impact and effect for other little redhead girls. And, oh, by the way, they gave you another one, right? Like, Brave is about a red-haired, scrappy Irish girl who doesn't want to be married off, and so she, you know, fights through this whole situation where she ends up turning her mom into a bear, and then she's got to resolve that, but things work out.
Right, this is why I don't watch these fucking movies or talk about them with you, especially when they're being recorded. So mom gets turned into a bear, but let's get back to the more real part. Mom was not a female bear, she was a non-gender specific bear, and
yes,
whatever.
But anyway, so I think a lot of people reacted to this, and it was just it was the idea of, you know, taking something that they're used to and changing it to something that they weren't used to. And I think the reaction would have been the same if they would have casted Ariel as, if they would have chosen an Asian girl or a Mexican girl or, you know, anyone who wasn't non-white. I mean, Ariel's supposed to be pasty with literally stop sign red hair, which that right. isn't really a thing. But, you know, they didn't. Disney went in a different direction. I think the way Disney has done these films, you know, taking the cartoons and turning them into live action, they've done a phenomenal job. I have to watch all of them because that's just, my child is very demanding in that way. And I've been pleasantly surprised every time they've done it. So I think what happens, Disney is probably going to knock this out of the park like they've done with everything else. And I think these other, maybe some of the girls will come back that were really pissed about this. Others won't. And I mean, I guess it's their loss, right?
Okay. And now let's be real about Disney. Disney has one and only one interest in this, and that's money.
Make money, bitch.
Make money. So
Disney is, let me just tell you, can I just tell you how Disney is about the, well, we'll talk about it off here.
Okay.
It has something to do with the Disney cruise, and I just, whatever.
That's kind of a mean tease to the audience. You sure you don't want to do this?
All right,
if it's going to be, you know what? If you don't want to, after what we talked about so far today, if this is not show material.
I don't want to rant against Disney on a show. Because
okay. I will rant against Disney any day of the week. I'm
planning on going on a Disney cruise, and all of a sudden I don't want to end up like tied up under the boat.
Oh yeah. Keel Hall.
We
heard your show.
Like, we scanned the internet for any reference to Disney, and we heard what
you
said.
And you know what? I would not put that past them.
I wouldn't either.
They are the most, they are one of the best
organizations ever. And we love Disney.
I hate
because
Disney.
They have Marvel and Star Wars, and so you're going to shut up before you get us in trouble.
All right, well, when you live in Orlando, it's really easy to dislike Disney. Down there was a saying, you don't fuck with the rat because the rat has teeth.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I said it. All right, so speaking of people losing their shit, Colin Kaepernick came out and spoke out against a new Nike shoe release that was supposed to commemorate the 4th of July. It featured the flag, the Betsy Ross flag, the 13 stars. And I honestly, when I saw people losing their shit about this on Twitter, and this was the big time, folks. This was, you know,
Ted Cruz
was one of them, okay? And Ann Coulter, I think, did
everybody,
it.
Everybody, like, yeah, all your conservative white wing. Yes.
Was that Freudian or intentional?
Both. All MAGA, right. Trump supporter, Republican, GOP, patriotic, I love America, all that stuff. Every single one of them. It was so predictable. It seemed like the story hit. It started in the Wall Street Journal, which I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. I saw the story and I said, oh, God. Because I knew what this was going to turn into. What it was going to turn into is exactly what it did, right? Was everybody on the right saying, you know, Nike released the, you have to release these shoes and give them the veterans. And, you know, it's a travesty that you pull these shoes.
So we need to say what happened, right? So Kaepernick came out against
So they were going to release the shoe. Kaepernick throws his 2 cents in and says that the Betsy Ross flag is a symbol of, you know, our nation's history with slavery, and has also been co-opted by white supremacist groups, and is therefore offensive and should not be on the shoe. Nike says, okay. They listen to him. They pull the shoe. The story leaks. Wall Street Journal takes it. They run with it. World catches on fire.
Right. Honestly, when I first saw this, I thought for sure it was going to be a joke. Oh. I thought for sure I was going to... I did actually go to Snopes and type it in, and that really did happen. Now, all right, how do you feel about this? I've got mixed feelings.
So, I think starting at the root of this is Colin Kaepernick, right? So...
A little divisive.
Yeah, but my issue is, you know, that flag was, we had 13 colonies. The country as a whole fought for and won its independence. Now, still had slavery. That sucked.
Yep.
Was not good. And there's an argument to be made that for black people, listen, 4th of July is good. Very good that we're not under the rule of England. But what was even better for us was June 19th, you know, 1865, because that was the end of slavery.
Right.
Right. So we'll take that over the first one, right? Because the first one didn't really affect us because you guys were under, you know, the Queen's rule and you were still kicking our ass in slavery, right? Like, so it didn't matter whether it didn't matter whether you guys were independent or not because, we were slaves.
You were still property, right?
You didn't have one, we were slaves.
Right.
Right. Like, so for us, shit didn't get real until 1865. So, I mean, that's the reality. Now, it's better for everybody that, you know, we're independent and slavery is over, so it's all good. But the idea that flag represents, you know, slavery, it represents a time when the country was young. And it was coming up. And if you're going to focus on that particular one aspect and say that's what that flag represents, that's a misrepresentation of what the flag actually represents. So, one, I disagree with him there. Two, his claim that the flag has been co-opted by a white supremacist group, it's kind of
so-so. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I've never heard that.
So the group that he's referring to, it's called, I believe, they're either the 3 or the 13%. It's a kind of like a militia group. They say they're not a militia, but everything...
I'm not racist, but...
Right. I mean, you know, a lot of guns. And what they are, they say that they're the ultimate defenders of the Constitution, right? As it stands now, and apparently not as it stood in, you know, 1789, right? Yep. Because that wouldn't be ideal for me
if
that
was true. No, it would not be.
But, so this group, the reason why people say they're a white supremacist group is the guy who killed Heather Heyer, in Charlottesville, was a part of this group.
Okay.
Now, I think that you can be a part of, like two things can be true at once, but not necessarily connected. The guy could have totally been a white supremacist asshole and been a part of this group, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this group are white supremacists.
Assholes, right?
But I don't know that, right? Because it's like if you go and you look them up, there's nothing that. If you look up the group, and I think it's the 3% or the 13%, one of that, if you put it in, you'll find it. I don't know who, I don't know what they are at their, you know, in their heart of hearts, what they are. I don't know if they have their little meetings and their little get-togethers, and it's, what can we do to get rid of brown people and black people? But, you know, I'm not sure. Based off of what their group says, you go to their webpage, you look at different things. It's a lot of stuff about, you know, government overreach. It's a lot of stuff about the Second Amendment. You know, it's a lot of stuff about, you know, taxation without representation. I don't see much racist rhetoric coming out of it, but I didn't dig deep down into, like, I didn't jump into Reddit or anything like that because I hate Reddit and I don't really understand it.
Well...
So I've just Googled the three percenters.
Okay.
And their symbol does include a circle of stars.
Right.
With the number three in it and 1776 in there. A lot of gun stuff.
They do.
You don't have to go far to find Confederate flags, by the way.
They do. Yeah, they do have the. They do have the flag. Now, I didn't see. I didn't see the. Like I said, I didn't do a deep, deep dive.
All right. So, casual glances of what shows up when you Google them. A lot of Confederate shit. Which, okay. By the way, but so
bad start.
I have a beef though, in that one. This symbol is not the same as that was on the Nike shoe.
Right.
And for crying out fucking loud, if anything that could possibly, if anything that occurred prior to 1865 is considered a symbol of slavery,
the country was built on slavery. Let's just start there. The country was built on the annihilation of Native Americans, and it was built on slavery.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
Right? Now, if you start there, right, and that's part of the problem is that there are people who don't want to have that conversation, right? People on the right, conservatives, GOP, whatever, you would never hear Mitch McConnell say that this country was built on the annihilation of the Native American people and slavery, right? You just won't say it, correct? Right? I mean, and because it doesn't sound good, it doesn't feel good when you say it, but that's part of the problem. That's the catharsis that we need as a country for everyone to just be open and honest about our history, about what it was. We've got a really shitty history of treating people very, very, very poorly, right? Everybody got treated bad. Italians coming over. Irish got treated over or got treated right. really shitty when they came over. Japanese, Korean, like, they're treated terribly, right? But they fucking literally went over, took us, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Took us from where we were, put us on a boat, locked us up in chains, brought us over, and then physically bred us like animals, right, into captivity for hundreds of years, right? And then we fought a war over it, right? And then when we wouldn't leave, like, Abraham Lincoln wanted black people to leave and go to Africa, right? And then we're like, fuck you, no, like, none of us, we were all fucking born here.
Five generations right, into like, this so shit.
Fuck you, just give us a piece of land over here, we'll leave you guys alone, you leave us alone, we'll call it even. Right, and instead of doing that, what they said was fine. Slavery is over, but we really want to bring those other states that were all pissed off that left. We want to bring them back into the mix. So what we'll do is we will make every concession to bring them back, except for giving them back slaves.
Right.
But you people that we just released, you are second class citizens, and literally walking down the street can be a criminal act. And we can murder you at will for basically anything. And that's going to run for about 100 years. Right. And then after that, okay, fine. We'll stop murdering you at will, but you have to that land you wanted, we're not going to give you that, but you can't go to school with us. You can't work with us and you literally can't do anything with us. Right. And if you do, it's a crime and we may not be able to murder you, but we can definitely throw you in jail and we will throw you in jail for anything and everything. Right, and then that went on for like 50 years. And then now we're in current day and it's kind of like a hodgepodge of, how that all broke out. Right, that's our history.
Those are true statements, yes.
Right, and so, one, we need to acknowledge it. Two, we can't have paralysis by analysis, right, which is what Kaepernick is at. Right, he's just right. Well, everything is fucking racist. It's all fucking racist, and it all relates back to slavery. And we just can't do anything, right? Like that's literally where he's at. And so I would tell him, if I'm Nike, I would have been like, "Thank you for your input.
Right,
go back to doing whatever the fuck you're doing. Right, we're releasing the shoe, and that's it. Right, and I think
don't like it, don't buy it. Right. What's funny is
Nike stock's surging.
Is it really
surging?
I did not know that. But what's funny to me is that. The people who are upset with Nike kowtowing to Kaepernick
are talking. Okay. I'm sorry. I have to take this.
Go ahead.
The same people that, like, literally, there are people, Ted Cruz, Ann Coulter, all these. Nike, you need to release those shoes. They need to be available for everyone because we are patriots. We are Americans. And those shoes represent everything. But you shouldn't listen to that guy. Release the shoes. I want to buy them now.
But I'm boycotting Nike.
But you're the same motherfuckers who were boycotting Nike when they got in bed with Kaepernick in the first place. Right? Like, yeah, so what are we doing? Are you burning the shoes? Do you want to buy the shoes? Like, what are you doing? Right? Technically, shouldn't you be ignoring Nike anyway because you were boycotting them from the first Kaepernick incident?
That's exactly where I was going to go. And I do want to say again, I encourage, this is just Jim from Whiskey Congress, I encourage you, if you feel like burning your shoes with your feet still in them, A, do it.
Recorded.
And B, record it.
Right. And please. C, put it on Twitter.
And put it on, yeah, put it on Facebook or YouTube or whatever.
Just anywhere we can access it.
Anyone who wants to do that, please, I want to watch this.
I mean, it's amazing the I don't even know what to call it. I don't know if it's hypocrisy or...
It's really dumb, and it's outrage over... I don't want to call it manufactured outrage, because these people are really genuinely pissed. And now let me say this. I don't buy Nike because I've been protesting their labor practices forever. But... And I wouldn't have bought the shoe because I frankly don't think it's all that good looking of a shoe.
Right. I mean, you would literally only wear it on the 4th of July.
Right. But.
And I'm sure it's probably going to cost like $200.
Which
is. And here's another. That's my other beef, right? All the people complaining about it, like even if you weren't boycotting Nike before, which I'm sure everyone who said they're re-boycotting Nike were boycotting Nike the first time.
How do you re-boycott?
I don't know. But. A majority of those people weren't about to drop whatever the shoe was going to cost. Because the one issue that I have with Nike is that a majority of their shoes are just absurdly expensive. Right? And I beat the hell out of shoes.
Right.
So the idea that I'm going to go and drop $250 and then I'm going to go to my gym, right, and do all the shit that I do in those shoes, fuck out of here. Right? Like, I mean, like, I have shoes. Like, if I spend more than $100 on a pair of shoes, right, and they get remotely dirty... Like, it causes my eye to twitch, right? And I have to get over it because they're shoes and they're close to the ground and the whole point of them is to protect your feet. And in order to protect anything, you have to get dirty, right? Unless you work for Mike Pompeo. Then you just go get him food.
Just go to Burger King.
But, I mean,
Mike Pompeo is actually saving the patriotic shoes. Never mind, sorry.
Stop. So, it's just interesting that and my other thing is, it's Nike, right? Like, so your whole thing with why you boycott them... Right, because of their labor practices and all that other stuff. I mean, all their shoes are made in Asia, with slave labor. It's taking away jobs from America, and yet all these people are screaming, "We want these shoes! We want these shoes!" Right, like so. I'm just my whole and when you look at this big picture, you've got these people pissed about a shoe made in Asia by slave labor. That depicted a flag that is no longer our flag,
right?
Hasn't been relevant in 200 years, over a company that they said they were boycotting a year ago, and a shoe that they weren't going to buy because the price is kind of ridiculous.
But
this is the thing that they're really pissed about. And I'm like, I've said this on Facebook and I said this on Twitter. Like, I point all those things out. And I'm like, you can be mad about it, and I'm not going to tell you can't be, but you look like an idiot.
I completely agree with that.
Right? I mean, I think, one, Nike listening to Colin Kaepernick, why?
That's the most confusing thing to me, is like, how did he voice that opinion, and how was that opinion strong enough to say?
Because I think it's interesting that the Wall Street Journal got this story, so something leads me to believe that somebody in Nike leaked this.
Okay.
Right? Nike,
now, the Wall Street Journal is a Rupert Murdoch publication.
I know.
So, I mean...
Okay, and do you know how much money Nike donates to the GOP?
I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if it's an absurd amount.
It is.
Okay.
So,
they probably donate to... I mean, I'm sure Phil Knight is like, I donate to everyone to help my own cause.
Yes.
Kind of like Trump back in the day, right?
Right. So...
Make everyone happy and no one fucks with the fact that my business practices are kind of shitty.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So, but I just find it interesting... that the Wall Street Journal got this story. Again, how? From who? Right?
That's true.
I mean, so, and what I'm getting at is Nike never not serves their own best interest. Right? So, Colin Kaepernick chimes in. And then I'm sure they initially probably said, no, Colin. And then someone said, well, last time when we brought this ad with him, stock price went up.
Oh, look at you going conspiracy theorist. Get us back in the...
That's
conspiracy theory.
I guess, but I mean, like, I have enough pieces, Right? I have what happened last time. I have the fact that their stock prices are surging right now. I have the fact that the story is leaked to the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, so... Okay. I mean, I just... You know, the...
No, I'm not saying you're wrong.
And, oh, by the way, the shoe got out.
Oh, it did.
The shoe got out. Like, 1,000 pair got out.
Oh, now they're going to be worth shit tons of money.
1,000 pair got out.
Fucking great.
And then they recalled them, but then, like, I think of the 1,000 pair that got out, 500 came back. So there's 500 still out there. And then the story gets leaked, right? And now we're here. And Nike stock price... I'm picking up.
I cannot really relate because I don't...
You don't have to relate. I mean, you don't have to wear Nike to put that together.
I'm saying I can't relate to the idea of spending a stupid amount of money for like limited edition shoes. There's an episode of Entourage where Turtle gets a pair of like $26.
Well, there was nothing in that show you could relate to.
That's true. But fine. My point is that I don't care enough about these things. But your stories, your logic makes sense, and. The idea that these 500 pairs of shoes are going to become this mystical...
There they are.
All right.
Secondary market, $2,000. And I'm not making that
fucking
up.
Fucking believable.
I'm not making that up. A pair went on the secondary market. There's an app. I forget what the app is called. But you can go... That's where you go and you can get like exclusive hard-to-find shoes, right?
Okay.
It's like...
Shockingly, I don't know that app.
It's... oh, my God. The one that I use... For whiskey.
You hide that shit from me because...
No, I think I told you. You don't fucking listen. Or every time we talk, you're drunk.
Oh, that's what I was going to be today. Okay.
but anyway, so on the secondary market, like the shoes sold for $2,000.
That is
And that's not hysterical. And I'm going low because I can't remember if it was $2,000 or $3,000. Either way, that's what they sold
for. Anyone who would spend $2,000 on a pair of sneakers... is out of their fucking mind, in my opinion. Period. Unless you're going to resell it and make value or get maybe, better.
But people have passions, sure. Hobbies, vices. I mean, like, listen, there are 2,000 to $10,000 bottles of booze,
mm-hmm.
right? And if I had the money, I would fucking go get them, right?
Okay.
I mean, if I could, like, if I had the money, right? If I were just flush with cash and could just, like, if you annoyed me, I could just hit you in the face with a stack of $100 bills just to make you go away, right? Like, I mean, if I were that rich.
If you're going to do it that way. If you're going to throw a stack of hundreds at me, fine.
Right.
Do it.
Like, just, bitch, shut the fuck up, take the money and go.
I'm $5,000 richer, thank you very much.
Right.
This reminds me more of the Beanie Baby thing, though. It's like, this Beanie Baby is worth this much money. And I would always say, no, it ain't. I mean, you can say,
yes,
well,
it is
because people will pay it.
Because someone will pay for it.
But it's an unsustainable thing. Okay. And
The shoe thing is different, though.
It may be. It may very well be.
I mean, they're at a point now where there's almost like a stock market for shoes, right? That dictates the value of these shoes. And listen, it's at a point, Jordan hasn't made a new shoe in I don't know how long. All they're doing is re-releasing old Jordans.
Okay.
Right? They looked at what Disney was doing with re-releasing their old movies, and Jordan was like, you know what? We don't even need you creative guys anymore. We'll just literally start at the originals, and we'll work our way up until, you know, the last new ones that we made, and then that's when we'll either start making new ones or we'll start re-releasing from the beginning again. You know, I mean, like, that's where we're at right now. And I mean, like, you can go online, you can go on Instagram, you can go on Twitter right now. And there are people who will teach you how to buy shoes and make money off of buying them and reselling them.
Okay. I'm not saying you're not wrong. Maybe.
How is it unsustainable?
Because at some point people are going to go, $2,000 for a pair of shoes is fucking ridiculous.
Oh,
and
really?
And people are going to say, well,
oh, really?
So the perfect example is the Beanie Baby thing, right? Try selling a Beanie Baby for $500 today.
But, I mean, at some point in time, then booze should have gone away, right? At some point,
I think that's different.
How?
Because Beanie Babies don't get you drunk.
Okay. But, I mean, you're using Beanie Babies, but, I mean, that's Beanie Babies and Pet Rock. Okay, fine. But... Like, Beanie Babies aren't a thing. You don't actually need them.
Right.
But shoes are kind of a thing that you do kind of need. But
I mean, booze is kind of a thing that we both need.
Yes.
You're going to call me a drunk, but let's face it.
I needed to function. I know. I needed to not murder people. But, I mean, like shoes are, I guess, hard to explain, just fucking different.
Okay, let's carry this on because...
The shoe thing hasn't gone away.
Not yet. No,
women have been collecting shoes for years.
Absolutely.
I mean, how many fashion designers out there are on yachts right now because of women's obsessions with shoes?
You're absolutely right. This is a bit different in the sense that this is like a collectible item, right?
That's it's been going on for years, Jim.
Yeah, I know.
And technology is the thing that has allowed it to explode. And the idea that they're going to get to a price where someone's going to not be willing to pay, okay, fine. But the idea that...
That's not really what I'm saying. What I'm saying is... There's lots of things
that people are going to run out of room in their closet and say, okay, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. But I think where you're wrong, though, is the market itself, that the sub-economic market that has been created with buying, selling, trading shoes, it is literally like a commodity at this point. And I don't think there's no signs of it slowing down whatsoever. I know grown men your fucking age who have rooms filled with shoes that they will never wear. It is an obsession.
I have a friend who's obsessed with sneakers. I call them sneakers, whatever, but athletic shoes. I have a friend who's always buying. He probably has 50 pairs of shoes that he literally cannot wear.
I have a friend right now that I guarantee you I could text. I went to high school with a very successful, internet social media marketer guy. His wife's a doctor. They're very well-to-do, prim and proper, as white as they could be. Dude is obsessed with Jordans. Obsessed. He literally has an Instagram page dedicated to the shoes that he wins in auctions, right? But he doesn't resell. He only buys.
Okay.
And he's got a room. It's a closet, but it's a room. Like, it's a walk-in closet the size of, bigger than the room that we're in right now. Filled with shoes, shelves, everything.
And I'm not denying that
he's a grown, and he's not going away, right? At no point in time is he gonna unless him and his wife just completely lose all their shit. His obsession isn't going away.
Okay.
And there are literally maybe millions of people like him, because this isn't just the U.S. Don't even get me started with Japan and China. Do not, like, Beijing. And Tokyo shoes are I don't think you understand the breadth of what this is.
I you know what? Maybe I don't, because I just don't fucking get it. It makes no sense to me at all. And maybe that's just me, way I was brought up and
it's not. Whatever. Shoes aren't your thing, and they're not my thing.
Right.
Right. I'm not really a shoe collector. Like, I buy shoes, I wear them, I beat the shit out of them, I go get another pair. Right. But I mean, I get the upset because that's how I feel about whiskey. Right, I would love to be able to have a whiskey collection of 1,000 bottles that range from the cost of $15 for a bottle of the old school Heaven Hill, all the way up to the most expensive bottle of fucking Louis the 15th, 30th, whatever, and all of it, right, and then just have explanations and displays and video, all that shit. I would love
to
do that.
Understood.
Right, like, but I mean, that's where people are with shoes and the obsession with booze and whiskey and collectible things like that. The Beanie Baby thing exploded, and I think that's apples to oranges. It's not the same.
Well, maybe not. Here's where it is the same, and I'll accept that there's a lot of reasons why it could be different. But all the things you're talking about, and this is true, frankly, of almost everything, it has value because people will pay for it. And as soon as people say that's no longer the hip thing, that market disintegrates. Beanie Babies disintegrated.
But Beanie Babies is only a thing for fucking 2 years.
Right.
Jordans have been a thing for fucking 30.
Right.
There's a difference.
Understood.
Right. And longevity matters.
Well, I mean, look, I've got the situation. I've got some collectible coins. It was something every year my dad would give me a silver dollar. So I have collectible coins.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
No. What I'm saying is, we're talking about people collecting shoes. You're saying, I've got coins, and that right there, that's why you can't get this, right? It's just that gap in
mentality, age, whatever. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I'll tell you, I'm afraid that those coins are going to be worth nothing someday. Because they're only, I mean, a silver dollar is technically worth a dollar. I have one from 1871. My dad bought it. It was made 100 years before the year I was born. I think it's cool. Again, my dad gave it to me. He's no longer with me. So I don't want to sell it. But I know that he bought that as like something that he would buy me that would have value as it appreciated and if I took care of it. And I think the number of people who collect coins is dying off. The number of people who collect stamps is dying off. There's stamps that sell for $1 million or more.
Okay.
And why? It's a fucking stamp. But because people will pay it, it's got that value because people will pay for it.
And now listen, things ebb and flow.
True.
Right? Things ebb and flow, but there are still stamps out there that are worth crazy amounts of money. Mm-hmm. There are still coins out there that are still worth crazy amounts of money. Right? And if, you know, the coins that you're talking about made from gold and silver, like those are always going to carry, they're always going to carry certain levels of value because of what they're made of.
True.
Right? If they're truly made of gold and they're truly made of silver and it's not like a hodgepodge of alloys or whatever.
No, these are all silver.
You know, silver or dollars. Like, you know, like, I mean, I think our quarters are what, like, copper dipped.
Yeah, their quarters
silver
have
plated
almost,
or whatever.
It was like 1965, they were switched from all silver to.
Right.
Whatever.
So I mean,
I know this is what my dad was going to collect.
Right. I mean, but so I mean, those coins that your dad collected, those probably still do and probably will always carry a level of value above.
There's a coin shop less than a mile from where we are right now.
I know. Yeah, I mean, so I mean, I think to my point, you're almost making my point for me.
I kind of am. I'm not even trying to necessarily argue with you. I'm just saying that I worry about like when the trend.
But that's
ends,
with anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's with anything. But, again, people are still collecting coins, and they're still paying a lot of money for them. There's still auctions. I mean, what's the great the auction place in New York? It's like Gatsby's or...
I know what you're thinking, because
that's the money there is so ridiculous that I can't even... Like, if I think you get charged just for saying the name of the place. But some of the stuff that they auction
there... Well, I
already
pissed off Disney today, so...
Right, but some of the stuff that they auction there, like, I would never pay for, but somebody will... I mean, and so that's where this comes from, you know? So.
Agreed. So I would like to wrap things up now. So we're going a bit long, but we have some sports stuff to talk about, so we'll put out a bonus episode. We'll do that. But for now, we are at Whiskey Congress.
Hold on. The bonus episode will cover sports.
Yes.
But you have a debt to pay.
We will discuss that in the bonus episode.
You have a debt to pay.
I do have a debt to pay. I lost a bet. You were right. I was wrong. You're smart. I'm not. I'm not doing the rest of the Happy Gilmore apology. But okay, you're very attractive. I'm not good looking. Fine. All right, as long as you admit that now. All right, we're out at Whiskey Congress on social media. Jim at Whiskey Congress, Steve at Whiskey Congress. You want to email us or whiskeycongress.com. Thanks for listening. Bonus episode to come.